You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
This morning, we have the Ōtautahi legend, Big Seema, on the line to talk about his latest track that he's done with Boomtown. The track is called Rent Free, and it's all about the cost of living crisis, amongst other things. Good morning to you, Big Seema. How are we?
Oh, kia ora, Zach. Thanks for having me. Yeah, no, we're good. It's the sun's shining here in Ōtautahi, and that's been a rarity lately, so we're definitely making the most of it, for sure.
Nice. Yeah, it's a similar thing down here. I think the south is blessed. The north is cursed. The north has been actually cursed recently.
Yeah, it's a bit of both, eh? But I think, you know, if you grew up in Waipounaumu, then you know the vibes, so... You leave the house in shorts, but always take a jersey, you know?
Hell yeah, and an umbrella and a bulletproof vest. You recently played at Cuba Dupa, which I think was like last week or the week before. What was the energy there? I heard it was a really fun time from friends who went.
Yeah, it was amazing. We've been on a wee bit of a sort of a post-summer run of three shows. We played Orientation 26, we played Toga Party down there in Dubs, and then Single Fin Mingle on Friday night, which is a big international surf festival here in Sumner, and then on Saturday we shot through to Pōneke to play to Cooper Duper. The initial thing that sort of stands out to Cooper Duper about Cooper Duper for me is it's an opportunity. They give equal opportunity to all artists from all over New Zealand, so they don't book the same artists every year, so we're really lucky to get on there, and I'm really lucky to play the main stage now, Tony Fly as well, at a really great point of the day. So it's an absolute immersion of culture, bro. Like, you go up there and it's like you turn left and there's some acrobats, you turn right, there's magicians, you look straight, there's a band playing behind you, there might be a DJ, and it's all down one lane down Cuba Mall. So massive props to the arts committee that put that together, because it's such a humongous beast. Like 200 different artists playing over a couple of days is a lot of admin, as you can imagine. So yeah, Anyone that hasn't been, definitely go next year, because if you want to see the industry from a different perspective, without the alcohol, without the high ticket sales, without all that sort of fluff, then definitely hit Cooper Duper.
Okay, I'll have to do that. I'm gonna be living in Wellington next time when it rolls around, so I'm gonna have to do
right,
that.
You're on, brother.
I will be. I love the name Big Seema. You explained it to me the meaning before off air. But in hip hop, it's always big or little. We're the medium sized artists at.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, I think it's with the big and the littles. It's all about, like, I'm pretty sure it's about people calling you that.
Yeah, so, true.
Like Lil Wayne was Wayne before Lil Wayne, obviously. But like, you know, people started calling him Lil Wayne, because he started coming into the studio and rapping in the studio when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's because when I lived in Australia, I was just Kali Seema when I went over there, or Charisma. And then people started, the cats that I hung out with were all like under 5'8", you know? So they just naturally...
Short kings.
Big Seema, big dog, you know? So, and I'm not even really that big. I'm like 6'1" or whatever. But compared to them, you know, I was a big guy. So,
yeah, they're pipsqueaks.
Yeah.
That's cracker, man. I read online that your musical journey has been sort of undergirded by a strategic 5-year plan, and I wanted to, I'm curious, what does that plan look like and how is it treating you?
So we sort of, we set out with this band project, which we started off the back of playing a festival together and sort of just getting thrown together at the last minute. And my best friend, also my business partner, Nazarite, me and him sort of devised this plan, like, what if we just, instead of focusing on getting streams and playlisted and all the things that everyone's sort of enamored with now, what if we just hit the road and did it the old school way, you know, and we just toured and we just see what happens, you know? And over the last 3 or 4 years, that has been sort of that's been part of who we are, as our live performances. And what we also set out to do was release 3 projects in 3 years as part of the Peace Trilogy.
Yes.
So we're 2 EPs in now, and this May we drop our 3rd one. And to be honest, it's been a bit of a rinse and repeat cycle, which has been really positive. It's given us an opportunity to all come together creatively and have input into a project. And like, we call it the 12.5%. I call it the 12.5% theory, and it's like, because there's 8 of us, we all get 12.5% input each. Mm. But that 12.5% comes from different angles. So you've got our keys player Blair, who's like just this crazy experimental type dude. Then you've got our horns players, which come from a classical, come from a jazz background. Then you've got our drummer, who started out as our percussionist, but now he's grown into being this amazing drummer. Our guitarist, who's a metal guitarist from Picton. Our vocalist, who's comes from Blenheim and comes from an R&B background and roots and stuff. And so, just all these different vibes chucked in a room together and like make an EP and see what happens. So what we've managed to do over this five-year plan is we've managed to create music which doesn't follow a specific recipe. So even on this EP, we have, like, we've got one song in the middle which people are just going to be like, what the heck is that? You know, but in a good way, but it's just like, you know, it's different. And I think that's our strength, is like, we don't sound like anyone else, and like, we're pretty proud of that. And this five-year plan, we're at year four now, we're right where we need to be. And now we're starting to think about Australia and stuff like that. And it's just, I'm really proud of us, and we have stuck to our guns, and there's been a lot of admin over the years, but we're really stoked and proud to have the team that we still have together.
Yeah. You might need a 10-year plan after this one.
Oh, I'm saying, let's get to the 5-year mark. You know, I'm not really a goal setting person. I'm more of like a system oriented person. So I'm more like, let's just stick to the script and see what happens. You know, and let's just kick it. We've played to 15 people and we've played to 800 people. So it's like, you got to take the good and the bad, but just keep going. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, perseverance.
Yeah, how are you, bro? Definitely.
On the track, you make references to Wu-Tang by saying cash rules everything around me. Of course, that's from the incredible track Cream. Who do you think had the best career post-Wu-Tang of the members?
Oh, it's got to be... depending on what you define as best, because I suppose successfully, like, from a capitalism perspective...
I guess who had the best albums? Not necessarily the highest selling, but who had the best... Yeah, who had the best solo records, yeah.
Bro, that's such a crazy... I mean, like, probably... It's got to be Ghost, right? Like, Supreme Clientele? Like, surely,
Mm-hmm.
For me, totally, it's a matter of opinion, right? So it's got to be Ghost for me. And then Pretty Tony after that. Like, so many great albums. But Meth too, that's a great question, bro. But a hard one, too.
It's very tricky, yeah. I love Liquid Swords. Yeah. It's probably my favourite that I've listened to.
Yeah.
I need to give Ghostface Killer a massive listen. Beyond just housing, it seems like the song is a lament on the renter's plight and just how expensive everything is and how we've got to get to work and, rising fuel prices now. It seems like a bit of a lament on the cost of living crisis. Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate, bro. It's also... Bro, the thing that blew me away, right, was I was listening to, I think it was a Jack Tame interview or someone, and they said, working, this term, working homeless, and it stuck to my brain, bro.
Yeah.
And I was like, so we actually live in a country right now where people are working 40 hours a week, but they cannot afford, or they can't find a rental to live in. Yeah. So we've got people living out of their cars and going to work every morning. Like, that to me is crazy. I mean, we can talk about both sides of the spectrum with regards to poverty and, the rich or the wealthy, et cetera. But really, that one just really stuck for me. So I'm just like, let's write a song and just dedicate it to people that are still going to go to damn work every single day and still can't afford or still living below the living wage, or just on the living wage. And then obviously... When we first wrote it, the petrol thing hadn't happened, but it just so happened that I mentioned something in there about that anyways. So it's all very much relevant, bro. And, like, it's funny, like, that lyric, the only place that we live rent-free is in people's heads, because that's really true. Like, can't afford to buy a house in this country, and can't afford to buy butter. It's like two different sides of the spectrum, but both the same thing ultimately.
Yeah, completely. I really love the line, never mind what a politician's going to say, they're going to live rent-free all day. Do you know what the collective property portfolio of New Zealand MPs is?
it's got to be almost in the billions, right?
It's 400 million, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much, in New Zealand, that's pretty much $1 billion, right? It's pretty damn close. Like, if you look in perpetuity, like over the next 20 years, that's gonna inflate hugely. So, yeah, it's really sad to see the way that they've flaunted their wealth. subtly throughout the media over this last term. And yeah, I think we just got to do something about it in November. And I think that's the strongest message that sort of comes out of, has come out of our music in the last, you know, couple of years, is like, we really do need to, like, understand what power we have when it comes to voting time, you know. Mm-hmm. And not to speak to the elephant in the room, but the sad thing is that, like, in the past, if we're going to get a national government out, we're like, well, it's going to be them. But I'm a little bit worried about who it's going to be, and if not them, then who, you know? And that's the real worry come November. So
yeah,
hopefully everyone gets their A&G and gets out and votes. And like I tell everyone, if you can order Uber Eats, you can enroll to vote.
Completely agree there. I guess this next question is kind of boring, but, you know, obviously there's different parts of the country have been hit worse by the housing unaffordability. How's Christchurch doing? Is the rent, like, pretty bad there? Is it getting by?
I don't think the rate of homelessness is insane, bro. Like, they've set up 10 cities in the red zone now. My partner works in the women's night shelter at the City Mission. And yeah, they've definitely seen a massive increase in homelessness, and the move on orders don't help, you know. And that's, I think, if you can look at, if you want a snapshot of what housing is like, you look at the rate of homelessness in any city, and that gives you a bit of a perspective as to where it's all at. It's a bit of a shame, bro, to be honest, because we have been busy building this massive stadium, and it's so good to celebrate that sort of thing and, like, celebrate our wee comeback from after the earthquakes and the mosque shooting, etc. But to be honest, bro, this is just, like, you know, it's a sad state of affairs all across the country. And unfortunately, in the South Island, Christchurch is probably at the peak of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah. No, things aren't great here in Dunedin either.
For sure. Yeah,
yeah. You've mentioned earlier that this track comes off of your third EP in the P series. Can I guess what the title might be?
Oh, I like it. Okay, I'll give you a guess.
I have just two guesses. Is it Peace Be With You?
No. Okay, so a couple of rules. It has to be four words.
Four words. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it has to be four words, and peace has to be at the end of the phrase.
Oh, no, the only things I have...
The peace, and then peace be the journey, so the third one has to have peace at the end.
Okay, a whole lot of peace.
Too many words, bro.
Oh, gosh, mind your peace and cues, then.
Think about Rent Free as the song, and then think about what it might be about.
Oh, man.
Starts with the.
The story of peace. I'm not too sure. I had a couple of guesses, but I'm honestly not great on the spot, unfortunately.
I'm gonna do something for you. I'm gonna tell you what it is. Okay?
You're gonna tell the title. You're gonna spoil the goodies.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I'll spoil the title just for you, bro.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. The title of the third EP is The Price of Peace.
The Price of Peace. I like the plosives, the repeating. The price of peace.
EATP, PBTJ, and then TPOP.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love the abbreviations.
Might be a t-shirt one day, who knows?
Oh, man, can we expect to see any more tracks before the EP drops in May 22nd?
We're going to drop one on release day, but we have, like, a bunch of content coming out soon as well, just around Rent Free and stuff. So
cool.
We've just been busy on the road, so it was like, we're all, like, literally, playing a show the night of the release, so we've been a little bit slack, but that's okay because... yeah, being on the road is bloody mission sometimes. We've got. I might do some videos teasing the next songs a little bit. Same as I did for Rent Free, but we'll see what happens.
Mm.
But yeah, looking forward to releasing it, man. May 27th.
27th.
Yeah, let me just double check.
Because I had May 22nd. I had May 22nd in my notes.
Nah, yeah, it's definitely the 27th.
27th, okay.
Wait. Friday. No, it's the 29th of May.
It's the 29th.
Oh, no. Actually, it is the 27th of May. I don't even know, man. no. Oh. I knew, because it's got to be a Friday, right? So I knew it was either the 22nd or 29th, so it's the 22nd.
Oh, this is fantastic. This is fantastic.
Yeah, bro.
Can we expect a Dunedin appearance at the sometime this year? Yes.
Yes,
fantastic.
Absolutely. Let's just let everyone know right now, we're going to be at Pearl Diver on the... Wait for it. It's the night before our Wanaka show. Hold up. I've got it. Hang on. Bear with me, guys. All right. July, August, September the 11th.
September the 11th. Never forget. Alrighty. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for spoiling the title of the thing and for coming on the program this morning, Vic Seema. It's been a real pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure. Do you have any final thoughts, words or opinions to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, just get out there and vote, man. Like, honestly, the power is yours, just like Captain Planet said. So make sure before November, because, you know, the Prime Minister wants to cut it off and make it so less people can vote. So make sure you get your voting papers sorted and then do some homework. Use the voting compass on the Electoral Commission website and see where you sit in the spectrum and definitely vote. Go and listen to our music. For sure, but voting's way more important at this point. So one-term government is the goal. So let's go.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Thank you so much, Big Seema. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Zach. Peace out, brother.
Cheers, man. All right, folks, that was Big Seema. We're talking to him about his new track, Rent Free, with Boomtown. Coming up very shortly, we'll be joined by Michael Swanson, who's going to be talking about the New Zealand political response to the Iranian war and the rising fuel prices. Here is Big Seema in Boomtown with Rent Free. Ka kite.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.